Okay, let me go ahead and get started through the boilerplate stuff at the beginning. The agenda for today's call is available at this place I'm including in IRC right now. And we'll go through the usual IP note, call notes, scribe selection, introductions, and reintroductions. And then lastly, the highlight is we'll talk about the modeling verifiable credentials for education document, which has seen a lot of edits. And I've identified a few specific topics and updates, but I will also have, you also have the ability to propose any topics that you want to talk about as well. One other thing I should mention before going too far, we have some great news, which is that we're finally modernizing the telecommunications connection techniques. So for various W3C and accessibility reasons, we're trying not to use the obvious Zoom because of it's just reach and inability to access in certain regions. But we have a equivalent, if not better, approach based on Jitsi. So we're in the final stages of testing it out, and it also has IRC integration, but it has the features that you're more used to, like it's basically a Zoom-like interface. You can screen share and all of that, so it won't be such a mess with trying to connect over SIP or whatever. I mean, you can use SIP if you want, but I think most people are finding that's not their preferred way to connect. So we expect that to be rolled out at the end of August. Look forward to that. And I think that once we switch to that, the meetings, you know, a lot of the speakers prefer screen sharing for their presentations. So I'm reaching out to schedule some presentations that we've postponed because speakers would greatly prefer that versus the current technique. Okay, so next, let's go through the IP note. Anyone can participate in these calls. However, all substantive contributors to any CCG work items must be members of the CCG with full IPR agreement signed. The link to join the CCG group is here. And to do that, you have to make sure you have a W3 web account, and that's also free. We'll sign up at the link I've pasted into IRC. And then if you want to read the W3C Community Contributor License Agreement, that's available at this location. Okay, call notes. These minutes and an audio recording of everything said on the call are archived at our GitHub at the location I'm pasting into IRC. I saw a question about Jitsi. So, Balazs, we're just doing the final testing of it. We have our minute publishing process. We're working on getting Jitsi integrated to that. So the main feature that we're lacking right now is the auto recording. So we expect that to be coming soon. We use IRC to cue speakers during the call as well as take minutes. The IRC connection information was in the meeting invite. All attendees should type present plus, that's the word present, symbol plus, immediately following, as you see Juan or Bai Caballero doing right now in IRC, to get your name on the attendee list in the transcript. If you're new to the call, also, we'll have an introductions and reintroductions section in a little bit. We'll ask you to introduce yourself. That will make sure we can associate your alias with your name and get you on the attendee list in the transcript. In IRC, type Q plus, that's the letter Q, symbol plus, no space, to add yourself to the queue. And if you're not in IRC, simply ask to be put in the queue. And please be brief so the rest of the queue get a chance to chime in. You can always Q plus again. Okay, we need a scribe, Do we have a volunteer for scribing today? Okay, let me go down the list then, scribes. Want to make sure we didn't we do the rotation. 1 second. Okay, Stuart Freeman, could I have you scribe today? I'm sorry, I thought I heard someone talk, but was that you, Stuart?
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, cool. Thank you so much. I will add you. And just for a reference about how scribing will work with Jitsi, that's sort of the last thing we're still figuring out. We expect there's an auto-scribe functionality, but we still will want someone to be correcting the minutes as they go along. So expect some updates on that soon. Okay, let's see what we have next. Okay, introductions and reintroductions. Anyone new to the call that would like to introduce themselves? If you are on IRC, I encourage you to put yourself on the queue so you can introduce yourself. Otherwise, just speak up, hopefully in a staggered manner so you don't all speak over each other.
Good morning, James.
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead. Okay. Good morning. I will figure out IRC. Sorry to, I'll be more courteous next time. But James does announce with Kaiser Permanente. I'm with our blockchain group, and we're looking at physician and clinician and clinical staff education credentials. So thank you.
Great. Thank you for joining us.
Good morning. My name is George, George Artem. I'm from Seattle, Washington, and I'm a recent UW grad school graduate, and I've been listening into the calls, and I just wanted to introduce myself. I've been trying to get a verified credential pilot up and off the ground with the University of Washington grad school.
Great. Thank you for joining us.
Hi, good morning. This is Jeannie Kitchens with Credential Engine.
Hi, Jeannie. It's great to have you here.
Thanks, Kim.
Okay, and then I'm going to call on a couple more aliases I didn't recognize. There's James DZ. If you're able to, could you introduce yourself?
Sure, Kim. That's actually James. I've introduced myself at first, so...
Oh, is that
the Oh, sorry, okay, did. Yeah, Jezanowski is a long one, so DZ, thanks.
Excellent, thank you. I think all the other aliases I recognize. So, yes, thanks, everyone. Let's move on. Next, we have the main topic, which is modeling verifiable credentials for education. And for this, actually, I thought I would lead in with some updates on the XML serialization of verifiable credentials topics. So just for reference and context, we have been building this document, this modeling verifiable credentials for education document, and the goal of that is, you know, a few people may have mentioned that a lot of verifiable credential pilots are underway. And but verifiable credentials are a fairly new standard, and so it many times it's unclear how to fit how to fit existing schemas into the verifiable credentials format. So this document is an attempt to pull together some prototypes, so some samples of possible best practices, the best practices that we know of right now. The credentials community group is not a data standards organization. We're more of an incubation organization, but we're working closely with the various data standards orgs in education to ensure that we're doing things the right way according to the rules of, say, you know, if it's an open badge schema, working with the people who are closely involved in that to make sure that the direction is good. All the schemas that we'll produce will be, alpha versions. In general, that's fine. If you're wanting to use it for prototypes and early deployments, especially. And so because they're versioned as well, there's no confusion about what it is. So in this document, we've outlined a few different types of credentials that people want to express. So some are course completion, some are transcripts, and you can scroll through that document to see a few different examples. One area that has been especially interesting for us is what to do with XML standards. So in the document, I think it's example four. Let me make sure to pull that up real fast. Okay, yes, it's working example four, EDCI. I'll put the direct link in there. In that example, you'll see, so in the document text, you'll see it transcribed to JSON. But right now, it's expressed in XML, and I'll send you a link to an example of that. Okay, so that's in IRC as well. Okay, so why is it not as easy as just mapping it to JSON? So these EDCI credentials are in XML, partially to conform with EIDAS legal signature requirements in Europe. So, even though long-term there's the possibility to translate the XML to JSON and use, sort of a JSON-based signature suite, what we wanted to do is, say, okay, maybe it takes months to a year to get that formal adoption pull through. In the meantime, there are things we can be doing on the verifiable credential side to make XML credentials work for the legal requirements right now. So we had a meeting on July 21st to talk about what our options are. And I'll send a link to the minutes of that. And if you scroll to the top, you can listen to the recording as well. And so in that, we reviewed the status, like what are the options with XML verifiable credentials. And specifically, here's a link to the slide presentation. What we decided at the end of it was that it's we don't want to wait on legislature to approve other signature suites, other formats to be enabled. What we decided that we could do is modify the verifiable credential data model. Actually, I'm hearing some background noise. I'm going to see if I can mute myself. Just give me 1 second. I'm going to be muting. Okay. So what we decided was that we can extend the verifiable credential data model to express two things. One, make sure that it's clear that it's the spec as is a data model, and additional serializations of verifiable credentials such as XML are supported. And so, two, we would describe a specific XML mapping, including any necessary context that we'd want hosted in W3C. So that's sounds like a pretty straightforward work item. We identified on the mailing list some of the specific steps we need to do. Fortunately, the Credentials Community Group is also the home for the Verifiable Credentials data model. And so we have the ability to make those updates to it. So one thing I want to call out on that, that is not necessarily a general recommendation for any standards group using XML. In this case, it was the legal requirement aspect that made it much easier to keep with XML and use a different signature suite. But in your case, like say with PESC transcripts, you know, maybe they want to also use that technique. You know, that might be easier to just stick with that. But it's sort of a case-by-case decision. But this will certainly make it easier for people with, you know, more strict XML requirements. I think the other thing that's worth calling out is that EIDAS legal signature requirements, there's a variety of signature suites that are supported. But to make things easier, we identified one called ADES, the XML signature suite here. And I included a link into IRC. And so we'll be focusing on that signature method. And so we're hoping that with these changes from W3C that, you know, they'll be able to continue using these EDCI will continue to be able to use the XML formatted credentials, and they'll have first-class support from the Verifiable Credential Data Model, and that will also be an option for other XML-based standards. So Sia mentioned that in publishing, that's really common, so that might be an appealing path. So that's an exciting announcement, and we'll be giving updates on that. That's an effort that will lead to this group and the Credentials Community Group. Okay, so no one on the queue. I wanted to let's move forward then to the sort of open discussion items after that. And if you have any topics that you'd like to add, this would be a good time to just put yourself on the queue or speak up and say what you had in mind. Otherwise, I wanted to go ahead and bring up some of the other topics. Okay, and those are three things. One is a generalization of vocabulary for support of well-known standards like open badges. Discussion of issuance roles and impact, and then also a lot of the areas of this document talk about ILR standardization, and you know, in fact, I think that wherever that work is happening might be a natural home for the actual standards that we're creating here. So actually, that one might be the easiest one to start with. I noticed we have Jim Goodell here, and Jim, if you can talk. I was wondering, what is the, you know, can you give us an update on the ILR wrapper, or now it's called LER wrapper standardization. What standards body we expect that to be happening in, where the ongoing work is?
Sorry, I meant to unmute and I hung up. So I don't know in terms of long term. I know that the IEEE work group for the I guess it was launched as the ILR recommended practices is now underway, and so. In terms of that work, that work will reflect the concepts in the LER wrapper and kind of carry that forward. But I think your question was bigger than that, right?
I think that's really the main thing, identifying the home for it. And I noticed Simone is on the call as well. Simone, oh, great. You're added yourself to the queue. Yes, Simone, you're up.
Thank you, Kim, and thanks, everyone. Just to add that there's a timely meeting of the ILR working group on this coming Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern. The idea there is to convene and start to share the kind of the beginning of, you know, a base document which will form eventually the deliverable of this particular work stream. And the idea is really to endorse and build on the great work that is already being done by W3C. Particularly, we have two starting documents that are readily available, and one is the wrapper document that we just mentioned, and the other one is the very document that we're discussing today. And so by all means, those are the content that, you know, we will put on this track and look forward to stamp with an IEEE, I guess, approval. So I encourage anyone that's interested in joining the call this coming Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern again. There will be, a calendar invite going out in the next few hours with an agenda. But just as a teaser, we'll go through some of the space document that I mentioned and some of the governance issues that, you know, we want to use going forward in the work. Hope that's enough, Kim.
Yes, that's great. So it sounds like for all of our ILR/LER samples, we'll assume that IEEE is the home for it, and so we'll make sure to coordinate with that. I think we just, for purposes of this document, we just want to make sure that we're pointed to the right location and that our samples don't get out of date.
Great, lovely, and that's perfect. Thank you.
And can you send paste in the IRC the meeting information for the IEEE meeting and or send it to the mailing list as well, the CCG mailing list as well? There's probably quite a few people that would be interested in going.
Absolutely. Yep. We'll do that.
Great. Thank you. And so one thing I wanted to chime in on that, in case people are nervous, is the idea of going to a whole lot of meetings. I think the charter of this group, the CCG, again, we are more standards incubation, and it's particularly in verifiable credentials for education, we're focused on getting pilots off the ground, figuring out schemas that you can start working with, starting to chip away at the longer term things like the, for example, the verifiable credentials as XML problem is a one that requires a little bit of advanced work, but then also talking about things like, which DID methods are useful for, depending on if you're an issuer or learner. So whereas IEEE is focused more on a combination, standardization of the data model. So ours would be sort of input or recommendations that they'll follow up and can standardize, as well as a lot of other concerns around governance. So hopefully that clarifies the difference between the groups. Okay, next I want to tee up a discussion on, there was a thread in the document, and I call this topic generalization and vocabulary for support of well-known standards like open badges. And for reference, I'm going to link to a comment in IRC. And so I missed the H. Let me paste that again. Okay. That's more of a link now. For context, and this is one of the main reasons for kicking off this document, a lot of pilots were wanting to work with educational credential samples, but they were working not from a place of familiarity with data standards bodies that have done a lot of this hard work already. Let's see. This link isn't coming up. Is anyone having problems accessing that? I don't know if my connection is just bad.
Yeah, I'm not seeing it in IRC.
Okay. Let me try to get it one more time.
Is it the agenda link?
I'm copying it again from the document.
Is that a link within the modeling document?
Yeah. Okay, it seems to be working for me now, but actually let me try to tell you how to get there in case. I think it's also because there's a performance issue. So on page, problem statement, page 2. Okay, there's a C example here, which I have highlighted, and then there's a comment thread associated with that. So if you look at that link, and this would be a time where screen sharing would be wonderful, but that example is one of the examples that's been used in pilots. And notice that you see a verifiable credential there. You see credential subject, but then in that it says degree, bachelor degree. And as Nate points out in the modeling verifiable credentials for education document, that's not necessarily a sort of general way to model it. So, for example, if you continued along that path, like degree or certificate, you're labeling, you're adding, introducing a new term there for every new type of accomplishment, when really that might be redundant with the type, or it might be. So like in this case, the type was bachelor degree, so it's possible you can express in the type what you're trying to do in that degree term as well. So I think the main question there would be, what are we trying to do? Like, okay, we want to integrate with existing data standards groups like open badges and things like that. And is there a precedent, and what would be some general term? Nate proposed a has achieved term there, which sounds definitely a lot more general. Nate, I was wondering if I could tee you up to talk about that part. We have a comment thread there, and then we concluded we should discuss on a call.
Yeah, absolutely. Is my microphone on?
Yes.
Cool. I think there is a common pattern across a bunch of the different groups that I've been involved with around the idea of a defined achievement, which means here is a object, an entity like a degree or a credential or a certificate or a micro-credential or a badge that is defined and can be awarded to multiple people over time. And what I see as the opportunity for us in VCEDU is, can we create a parallel property that describes the concept of an individual being recognized as having achieved that defined thing, whatever it is, and then use this property across a large number of cases that match that pattern, which, like I said, fits for degrees, fits for badges, fits for all sorts of things. It doesn't fit for some of the broader verifiable credentials use cases, like saying is over 21. Birth date is a particular value. But it is a very general, broad thing across a bunch of use cases in the education space. And so when I see this example and it uses the term degree, that seems a little bit limiting. We have a couple options that are in existing vocabularies. For example, we could use the open badges term badge, which is just what is the defined achievement of a particular assertion, if we'd like. or we could invent one of our own.
Right. Has a cheese definitely sounds like a good, I like the idea of trying to pick something that fits across various standards group definitions, and it seems like defined achievement, the idea that that spans multiple groups, that could be a really good candidate. I think also one good way for to sort of test what that would look like, we have the LER wrapper document, and that model things in a certain way. It would be interesting to see as well, you know, we could actually sketch out what would it look like if we modeled that with HAS achievement and, you know, translating the payload to JSON. So I like that approach. Any concern? Let me double check the queue real fast. We have plus one to HAS achieved. Carrie, you're up.
Hey, sorry. I have a question. So is this to sort of say HAS achieved this type of credential? Is that how we're trying to replicate or like institute?
Would you like to recognize me to respond? Okay. Yes. Not so much this type of credential. So one thing would be to say Carrie has achieved a bachelor's degree. A bachelor's degree, you know, corresponding to 4 years roughly of higher education, you know, post-secondary. But that's not exactly what the term, I think, the opportunity is. I think the opportunity is to say, Carrie has achieved this particular degree from this particular institution. So it's a definition that's been created by a particular institution, just like a Open Badges badge class is today. Instead of saying something that's even broader. But you're right that there is that potential for something broader. And I think one of the use cases in the document is the open skills assertion. I think there are use cases around someone has achieved this sort of shared concept that's broader than a particular institution's defined credential, such as this person has achieved this particular skill. Where this skill might be shared, you know, many different issuers might recognize people as having achieved that skill. Does that answer your question?
It does, and I know Jeannie is on here, but I think we should also probably recognize that Credential Engine has the CTID, which also is another standard that kind of does this, I think.
Maybe, but the notion of a CTID, if you're talking about the what that term means is this entity has been assigned an ID by Credential Engine. It doesn't mean that an individual has achieved a credential with this identifier. One thing that we can do with the value of a has achieved property, we don't have to just have the value be a simple string. We could definitely use has achieved to say, Carrie has achieved a credential that is defined over here in Credential Engine and include the CTID in the properties alongside its name and maybe primary identifier, which is a HTTP scheme identifier.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Okay, thank you.
This is Jeannie. Do you want me to say something about that?
Yes, CTID? Please.
Sure, okay. Yeah.
So I'll paste a link directly into the definition of a CTID. The CTID does not, as was just stated, I think that may have been Greg, it is not to indicate a credential has been issued. It is a unique identifier. So we kind of think of it as like a unique product identifier. So we know we're looking at the correct credential. So that's the purpose of it. And I'll put a direct link to the definition in the CTDL terms in the document.
Great. Thank you, Jeannie. And I'm glad that you brought up Credential Engine, Carrie, because that's another, if we don't mention it in the document already, we should. So Credential Engine also has a lot of, it also has a registry of credential types. And so you can think of what we're doing here as sort of bridging, helping bridge to these different type definitions like they have there. So they might have a way to self-report, say, at University of Illinois, this specific degree is described this way, and it provides linked data that you can refer to in your credential. So what we're hoping to do with this document is also refer to these other groups and registries that have very useful definitions, because we don't want to redefine those. We want to point to them and reuse them. So, so yes, thanks for speaking up about that. Let's see who else. Jim Kelly from PESC, you're up.
Thanks. I guess I have a couple of questions. So where do we, I like the idea of has achieved a kind of a generalization of that characteristic, but where do we think that it's going to live? Is it living in the wrapper? And the follow-up question then is, how does this affect the standard payload? The payload being in the standard, you know, doesn't have has achieved. So how does that work? So maybe some explanation.
So Nate, you can add yourself to the queue if you have something to add. But my high level thing is that the verifiable credential itself is pretty much just a wrapper or, you know, container envelope kind of thing. And so what the LER ILR wrapper is already doing is something a lot like that. So the say if it's a PESC XML transcript, that's the payload, and in this case, that would also be the case. It would be like has achieved PESC XML transcript. I think those the terms and type definitions will most likely be, and I'm not sure if this is what you're asking, but you know, context schemas for that would live at whatever standards body is creating that, or this one for the meantime. But I think that you can think of it as just, you know, the thing that bridges the existing standard into that wrapper. I noticed Nate's on the queue. Nate, do you have an answer?
Yeah, only to, I guess, emphasize what you've now said, which is to that there is a separation between the concept of the wrapper and then the standard that goes inside it. And I think we are seeing a lot of momentum around the concept of using a verifiable credential as the wrapper for some credential content. And that brings along with it the capability to use a whole bunch of linked data signature schemes, and you know, the ability to potentially use a flexible range of different identifiers for issuers and recipients of credentials. What I'm talking about separately from that is what is the content of that scheme, and can we come up with consistent ways across several different standards communities to represent similar types of claims of achievement? And that's what I think is the work that has achieved does. And how that would actually work out in the market would be that you know, probably as a pilot basis, we would start trying out using has achieved with several existing credential schemas, such as open badges, and adapt some pieces of software that are built to understand open badges, which does not currently use the W3C verifiable credentials wrapper, to understand that wrapper using has achieved as a synonym essentially for the existing open badges assertion wrapper for the same claim. And so we would then prove that has value potentially in the market, and then take it through standardization in the home standards body for open badges, which is IMS Global. IMS has in this last couple months, I led a JSON-LD and DIDS task force to investigate some opportunities around how some of these concepts can work well with open badges. And so that piloting structure appears to have promise there. And so we can use something like that as the schema. But that's not to say that any other standards body is forced to use has achieved at all. I think the opportunity is there. We can put this term somewhere in a shared vocabulary with appropriate open licensing to make sure that it is available for all. But there's no obligation to use it inside of an ILR wrapper or otherwise inside of a verifiable credential wrapper.
So if I'm unsure, can I just follow up just to so I can understand, it sounds as though you would be implementing this in the open badge standard, and other standard bodies would or could implement this in their payload, in their standards, which become a payload. And that it's not an attribute of the wrapper itself. And then also a caution that approach is probably going to be kind of a heavy lift in some cases, given that, you know, changing standards can be difficult.
I'll respond really briefly. Yeah, I agree that might be a heavy lift. I think that for the standards where it is not a heavy lift, that we can prove the value of the approach. And then, you know, there's some good justification around the need to do work. It's also worth noting that it's likely that the wrapping a lot of these other standards in verifiable credentials is also going to be a heavy lift. So if those standards are looking at that opportunity, maybe it will not be significantly more to update the schemas at some point. But the ILR wrapper, it's intended to transfer documents in whatever format. I am skeptical that transferring documents in whatever format, with where it's sort of blind to the contents, is going to produce ecosystems where there are actual understanding around the contents of the document. And so I think that there is a good opportunity for the standards bodies, the communities, and the implementers who want to do something both at the wrapper level and at the schema level to prove that there is actual interoperability. I'm seeing just a lot of interest in the market this year and last year accelerating around, we need to have actual interoperability of the information in these claims, not just interoperability of documents that eventually you have a verified document and then you've got to like squint at some XML or print out a PDF or something like that that now is verified. That's cool value, but understanding at a machine actionable or machine readable level the contents of the claim is a different type and more extensive value that I think has a lot of the real long-term potential here. And some of these standards will have the ability to play with it, and we'll all sort of move at the pace that we can and experiment where we can with the flexibility that is possible so that we learn enough to be able to make the right choices when it comes to the standards that need to evolve more cautiously or have bigger changes to make to be able to get into the sort of machine actionable has achievement data world. That's my personal take on it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Phil is on the queue next.
Yeah, this is Phil. Thank you, Kim. Just actually a clarification from Nate, I think, which is that this looks like it's the proper use of the extensions component of the OBI badge spec design. And I was just wondering if you would like to confirm or clarify that.
Hey, and you've got a couple of the people who invented extensions on the call, myself and Carrie. So I don't think that this is quite extensions. Although I think extensions can be useful, this is essentially an alternative way of structuring an open badges assertion. I think it is possible to have essentially duplicative data inside an assertion so that you have it sort of in the traditional open badges use of the term badge to identify the badge class that was used, and then also just layering in all the W3C verifiable credentials properties. And maybe we can do something with a JSON schema that would make this a usable open badges extension. It's not just an extension, and validating the extension components of it, essentially the JSON schema of did you do this new wrapper format right, is not enough to really meaningfully validate the new format. You've actually got to do things like validate the linked data signature in the proof as well. And so I think it's a little bit beyond extensions, but yeah, we probably can use that mechanism. And also just for folks who aren't as steeped in the concept of open badges extensions as I have, then there are two mechanisms to add more data to an open badge, and sometimes they're both called extensions. One is just the fact that you can just put extra link data into an open badge and it doesn't impact the validity of the badge as long as you don't disrupt any of the core properties. And that's maybe more like what we would do here. And then the other is a slightly more heavyweight system called Open Badges Extensions, where there is a JSON schema that describes the intent. I'm going to implement an extension here as this sub-property of a badge, although we could experiment doing it on the top level as well. And within this section of the badge, the content that I'm going to add is going to conform to a particular JSON schema. And so it's a little bit heavier weight. And we can play around with those tools. It's worth noting that there's not really that heavy implementation of extensions out there in the ecosystem beyond just plain validating them, where there's some light usage of a few of them to transfer actual data. And I don't know if that was an aside or a very helpful film, but thanks.
Thanks, Nate. That was helpful for me. Phil, add yourself to the queue if you had any further clarification. I'm on the queue next. Let's see, what did I want to talk about? Yeah. Regarding the idea of has achieved being something that's defined at the open badge level, I do think that furthermore, an impact on the IEEE group that we were talking about, the one that's focusing on the LER wrapper, you know, we can pass that along to that group as a recommendation of a means of establishing interoperability so that, you know, we can at least spread the idea that this is the way that we're seeing to make the payload contents interoperable as well. So I think that, yes, it would still be up to individual standards bodies to choose whether to adopt that, but I do think it's interesting for pilots to start exploring that for the same reasons that Nate mentioned. Tsvia, you're up next.
Thanks. First, I haven't looked at this stuff in months, so sorry if I'm a little bit behind. But I just wanted to ask a clarifying question about the concept of issuer, which I realize is an important concept in verifiable credentials, but in the world of badging or any statement like this, when we think about the issuing organization, it's not necessarily going to be the same kind of issuance as a credential. Or so we might, do we have something in this model for this credential or this achievement has been certified by or issued by this organization? Like this bachelor's
right.
degree was has been accredited by, or whatever word we want to use, by the University of whatever.
That's a good question. We have that as a one of the discussion threads that we haven't really gotten into yet, which is, I called it discussion of issuance roles and impact. Nate, if I'm not imposing too much, could I call on you to talk about how that works in open badges now?
Sure. And I think the open badges concept is sort of broadly applicable, although we may at times use slightly different language for it in different standards bodies, and we don't necessarily have technical interoperability of the concept yet. But that concept does exactly exist in open badges, although what we infer in open badges is that the definer of a particular defined achievement, called a badge class, NOB, is also the one that is the only authorized party to make an assertion of that achievement, to actually recognize an individual with it. So if a particular community college is the issuer of a badge class, they are also the issuer of all the assertions of that badge class. And it is, there are some use cases out there maybe where we would want to have the definer and the issuer be separate things, and that is work that easily could be scoped into open badges at some point. And I think these concepts are fairly generalizable across a bunch of other assertion, or a bunch of other credential vocabularies and systems. For example, the credential engine represents in the CTDL, the concepts of the creator and the definer and of credentials in similar compatible ways.
Okay, thank you. I didn't mean to take everybody off track.
Great question.
Jim Kelly is on the queue next.
Thanks, Kim. So this feel, and you may have alluded to this just now, but this feels like one of, and we talk about interoperability, this feels like just one of many characteristics, many attributes that may be required for true interoperability. So date, issued, you talked about issuer, and some standardized method to identify an issuer. So we might be able to come up with a whole set of characteristics that might need to be shared in some way across payloads to provide true interoperability. Is that not true?
I can respond quickly. Feel free to add yourself to the queue if you have anything to add. But yes, that is true, and I think that there's the idea of identifying. Okay, the has achieved part is a critical part of getting the flexible payload or payloads flexibly into the wrapper. That's one of the critical first pieces. But you're right. There's additional things like the meaning of these different terms, different roles in the issuance or accreditation process. So I think we're interested in not necessarily, okay, so we don't want to reinvent the wheel ever. It's always great if someone's already done the work and we can just refer to it, because I think, like, you know, what we're trying to do is use verifiable credentials, but then use best practices of different standards bodies and allow people to express, you know, credentials that you know, are defined by different data standards bodies. So if there's a set of terms that we can already use, we'd love to just use them here. But otherwise, I think that's something that we'll keep unraveling. What are these terms that we need for additional interoperability? And so, again, as a pilot focus group, we can identify them and make sort of best guesses / recommendations and then turn it over to data standards groups to improve upon it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, let's see. So I think I like the idea of proceeding with has achieved in this case, and so we'll do that as a first action item. I can go through and update the samples and see what we have there. Let's see. Actually, another thing that I wanted to propose for these samples, so these credentials are using JSON linked data, which at the risk of going into too much detail, it works out best if you have a JSON-LD context you can refer to. One of the things I'd like to propose that this group do is start maintaining a group of a set of work-in-progress JSON-LD schemas and or JSON schemas as well, which would be useful more for the verifying the the syntactic representation of the credentials. And so that would be an easier way to get started. DCC has been working on, we have a playground that we've been using for just experimenting with credentials. And so I'd like to update it to just refer to some of the examples that we're building here. And so if you have any samples that you'd like to propose adding or, you know, anything that you'd like to discuss about that, I'll be providing information about how to add your sample and everything. Okay, so we only have 5 minutes left. I think that the discussion of issuance roles and impact is kind of too meaty to get into in the remaining 5 minutes. So if no one else has anything to add, I'll say let's just close 5 minutes early so we can switch to our next Zoom call.